This call is being recorded.
Gomorrah de Eva Mary Rata Gawere Adema.
Good morning, good morning. Flickish from Arizona, I am your greeter this morning. Anybody else on the line?
Gomorrah.
Good morning, Steve. Happy Monday.
Good morning,
Sister Susie.
Good morning.
Good morning. Happy Monday. It's Lucia from Arizona. I'm your greeter this morning. If anybody else would join the line, I'd like to say good morning.
Yes, good morning. This is Sister Veronica. Happy Monday.
Good morning, Sister Veronica. Happy Monday to you.
Thank you.
One thing, too, I do want to say how much that I highly respect our men and women in the military from the past, present, and future of our country.
Amen. Good morning. Happy Monday. This is from Arizona. I'm your greeter this morning. Did anybody else on the line or like to say good morning?
Good morning, family. It's Dondria. Happy Memorial Day.
Good morning, Dondria. Happy Memorial Day to you, too. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, it's Diane.
Good morning, Sister Diane. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday.
Good morning, it's Deborah Evans.
Good morning, Sister Deborah Evans. How are you?
I'm good, and you?
Good, good, good. Thank you for asking.
Praise God, praise God. Thank you.
Good morning. Happy Monday. It's Patricia from Arizona. I am your greeter this morning. Anybody else on the line? I'd like to say good morning. Well, thank all of you who have already already joined the line and said good morning and pressed your standing mute button. If the call is being recorded, we'd like to preserve the integrity of it. Good morning. Happy Monday. It's Leticia from Arizona. I'm your reader this morning. Anybody else join the line? I'd like to say good morning. I have to apologize for the background noise. I'm actually on vacation in the Dominican Republic, and it doesn't seem like a quiet place anywhere on this country.
Good morning, Barbara out of Lodi.
Good morning. Happy Monday to you. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Good morning, family. This is Mona. Happy Monday.
Good morning, Mona. Happy Monday to you, too.
Happy Monday.
Good morning, family.
Good morning,
Aticia.
Oh, good morning, Aticia. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you, Aticia?
Good, 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 good. Thank you for asking.
Good morning. This is Kedra. I may not be in position to pray in the lineup, so if someone else would step in at 7, if you don't hear me, like within the minute after the declaration, I'd highly appreciate it.
Good morning, family. This is Pam.
Good morning, Pam. Happy Monday to you.
Happy Monday.
Well, family, we're going to go ahead and get started with business at hand. Happy Monday, Memorial Day, everybody. Thank you for joining us here on Declare Victory. We're a prayer call that meets Monday through Saturday, 6 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, to edify, empower, and equip you with your walk with Christ. Please feel free to invite a friend so they can be blessed as well. Well, no announcements today, nor do we have any prayer requests on the app.
Hello?
Hello? I'm here.
Hello?
Good morning, Dr. Phil. We're ready.
Oh, I'm sorry, y'all. I'm sorry. Okay. All right, hold on. Thank you.
Okay, I'm sorry, you all. I had to switch my phone from my car to my headphones. TMI. But good morning, everyone, and happy Memorial Day. Love you all. Bless you all. I'm real hyped up about this morning. I've been up. I'm actually been driving. I'm on the road. Love you all. And so I want to start off with this prayer first. Father, we thank you. We bless you. Lord, we just thank you for your imagination. Hallelujah. We thank you for your heart, for your witty ideas. Lord God, we thank you for what you're imagining for Declare Victory today. Lord, we thank you for the encounters that you are imagining for them today. Lord, we thank you for the signs, the miracles, and the wonders that you are imagining today. Lord, we thank you for the encounter with your presence that you are imagining today. Lord, you are good and you are faithful. And you said if we be willing and obedient, we will eat the good of the land. Hallelujah. Father, I pray for those that have not eaten the good of the land. Lord, that they will eat of the good of the land today. Hallelujah. And so, Lord, I pray that you would lead us as sheep, Lord, to every single area of pasture that you desire for us to graze in today. We bless you, Lord God, and we yield to you as the good shepherd in Jesus' name. Bring the word to life today. Hallelujah, Holy Spirit. Bring the word to life. Lord, revive us in any area, Lord, where we have been dead to your word in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all. I know we've been doing Fear Not. I have a very interesting scripture today. I was going to do something else. I just wanted to make sure, and I just kept getting drawn back to this. And so I want to set this up by saying this. When I saw this scripture a few days ago, the thing that came to me was there was a book that I had actually read about this particular verse. It was a couple of years ago I had read it, and it was a book called The Two Fears. I don't remember who it was by. And this was the first thing that ever alerted me to this particular passage. Now, as I began to touch on this passage, I'm probably going to go in a whole nother direction with this particular thing. But I do want to say that there is a book about the two fears. That this is what first alerted me to this particular thing. And so I want to touch on this. Exodus chapter 20, verse 20. And I want to read the scripture. It says, "And Moses said unto the people, Fear not, for God is come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not." I'm going to say that again. "And Moses said unto the people, Fear not. For God has come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that you sin not." Now, I want you to notice something about this passage, right? Moses tells the people, don't fear. But then in the same verse, he says that God wants his fear to be before your faces, okay? So fear not, but God wants his fear to be before your faces. Now, just to set this up, this is the chapter where Moses receives the Ten Commandments, right? Where God is speaking what we know of as the Ten Commandments. So those basic tenets that are spoken about for the Ten Commandments, right? You shall love the Lord with all your heart, all your, you shall have no other gods before me. Honor thy father and thy mother, you know, just different things like that, right? And God is talking to Moses from heaven, the Bible says. But then what happens is, as he's speaking, it talks about a couple of verses earlier, how the Israelites, they began to see, like, all of these thunderings, these lightnings. They hear the noise of a trumpet. They see the mountain smoking. Okay? Now I want you to remember this, because I'm gonna go somewhere with that thundering and lightning and mountain smoking. I'm gonna go somewhere with that. But they see all of this stuff. And so then when they see it, they sit there and they say, hey, you know, man, please, Moses, go and talk to God for us. You know what I mean? Like speak to him for us. But don't let God speak directly to us, because if he speaks directly to us, we're going to die. This is what they tell him in verse 19. You know what I mean? They're like, man, Moses, we'll listen to you, but please don't let the voice of God speak to us. Because if he does, we're going to die. Because they were actually terrified. Because remember, at those times, they did not know God as the Father during that particular time. You know what I mean? You know, it wasn't until Jesus came and revealed God as the Father that they began to know him as the Father, right? So I want you to think about this for a second. All of this stuff is going on. And then Moses comes back and he tells them, hey, don't fear, right? So that's the fear that you and I understand is fear, right? In other words, don't be scared. Don't be frightened of God, okay? Don't be fearful of him, okay? But then in the next part, he says, but God is causing this to happen so that his fear will be before you. So I wanted to set this up so we have a basic understanding of what is being said as we begin to transmit this into me and you, modern day, right now, what's going on, okay? So these two particular fears, that first fear is how you and I can sometimes be when it comes to with God, right? There's a certain, sometimes you have some people, we feel like we've done certain things that are so bad to where we feel like God is going to really, like, release this punishment and release this particular judgment on us, right? There's a particular fear or fright that we began to have. Even I talked about this the other day. There's sometimes this fear about going in God's presence, right? Or we feel like, you know what, we think about the things that we've done. So when it comes to us praying to God, we sit there and we right when it's time to start off the prayer, we want to start off first cleansing our minds. We want to start off first doing all of this particular stuff, to all of these rituals and these rites to be cleansed before we can actually say a particular prayer. But there's a different type of fear that God wants us to walk in. He doesn't want us to walk in that fear that brings torment, because we know that perfect love casteth out fear. We know that God is against fear. The Bible talks about how fear brings torment. It's a tormenting spirit, okay? But there's another type of fear, and it's the fear of the Lord. Hallelujah. It's the fear of the Lord. Now, you think about the fear of the Lord. It talks about in Proverbs how the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It also talks about how the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It also talks about in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2, where it's naming like the seven spirits of God. Okay, one of the spirits that it names is the spirit of the fear of the Lord. And we know that this sevenfold spirit is contained within the person of the Holy Spirit. All of these different measures, the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of understanding, the spirit of might, the spirit of counsel, these different things, right? One of these particular spirits or aspects of God's nature is the spirit of the fear of the Lord, okay? This is something that makes up God's actual essence of being. And so what does the fear of the Lord mean? What is the fear of the Lord? The fear of the Lord is actually a spirit of reverential awe, okay? That's what it means. When you look this word up, not only does it mean like a moral type of fear, but it also means a reverence. You know what I mean? And so what do we mean by reverence? It's sort of like an honor, sort of like an awe. You know what I mean? Sort of like what we would put in modern day terms as a respect. Okay? Let me give you an example of what I mean by respect. So say that you're allergic to shellfish. Say every single time that you go in a particular place, you know, you break out the moment you smell shellfish. So we may love shellfish. We may have shellfish parties. But when we hear that you're coming to the particular party, just out of respect or reverence for you, as much as we love shellfish, we're going to make sure that we don't have any shellfish around, because we want to show that particular reverence, okay, to you, right? And that's the same thing with God. You know, there are things in our life. You know, think about this. We live in a flesh that likes to sin. Our flesh loves to be carnal, okay? This is what our flesh loves. A lot of times we get confused because we sit here and we try to do all of this particular work to keep our flesh under subjection, when we have to accept the first thing about our flesh, which is our flesh loves to sin. As a matter of fact, Paul said that the more that he tries, I forgot what his verse is, but this is in the Bible, but Paul talks about the more that he tries to do right, he does wrong. You know what I'm saying? Like, he actually says that in the scripture, okay? I'm driving right now, so I can't pull it up, but this is what's coming to my heart, okay? So bottom line is, it's impossible to sit there and, like, just make yourself all the time do right, do right, do right. This is why we have the person of the Holy Spirit. Do me a favor, mute your phone, whoever that is, mute your phone. This is why we have the person of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the helper. The helper helps you in these particular areas where you're weak in, or where I'm weak in, because the flesh loves carnality, okay? The flesh wants to curse. The flesh wants to fornicate. The flesh wants to get drunk. The flesh wants to operate in manipulation and control. The flesh wants to strive. Okay, I'm naming all of these different things where the Bible lists the works of the flesh in Galatians chapter 5. And there are other things as well, too, right? This is what the flesh is prone to doing. But you and I have the person of the Holy Spirit. What does the Holy Spirit bring? He brings conviction. Hallelujah. He brings conviction. And it is through the conviction leads to repentance. Condemnation leads to death. Okay, I'm going to say that again. Conviction leads to repentance. Condemnation leads to death. If you ever want to see an example of those two things, Judas walked in condemnation. Peter walked in conviction. Peter and Judas both did the same thing. I'm going to say that again. Peter and Judas both did the same thing. What did they do? They both denied Jesus Christ. Both of them denied Jesus. Both of them sold Jesus out. Judas sat there, sold him out with the bag of coins. Right? Man, y'all go ahead and get him. Just hook me up with these 30 pieces of silver. So at that moment, he acted like he didn't even know Jesus. And Peter, when he sat there, and the people said, hey, didn't we see you with Jesus? Peter sat there and was like, man, I don't know, dude. I don't know what you're talking about. All the way to where the Bible says the third time they asked him, Peter started cussing at him. So we can only imagine in modern day terms that Peter basically was like, man, I don't know no bleep bleep of Jesus. Man, get the bleep bleep out of my face. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is what Peter did. Okay, that's some strong stuff. You think about that. Can you imagine yourself saying, man, I mean, cussing somebody out, trying to get them to say, man, I don't know no Jesus. Man, get away from me. I ain't down with that Jesus stuff. Real talk. So, but though, Peter, we know from the outcome and the fruit how Peter's actually got convicted. How do we know that conviction came? Because Peter later on went into a realm with the Lord to where the Lord produced great fruit in his life. In other words, there was a heart change. But how did the heart change happen? There had to be conviction. Remember, when the Holy Spirit speaks, he always brings life. Okay? Okay? The goodness of God leads to repentance. Okay, and that repentance leads to life. However, condemnation, when it comes on us, leads to death. Judas ended up hanging himself off of this same particular thing, okay? Ended up hanging himself. And so, again, it actually showed the two types of fears manifesting in those two particular areas. Because, again, the Bible talks about how fear brings torment. Judas got so tormented to where he ended up hanging himself, killing himself. Peter had the fear of the Lord come on him to where the conviction came. Hallelujah. But this is the area, this is the area about to really get the nitty-gritty in, and it's this, that our hearts, the only way that you can really experience the fear of the Lord is with a sincere heart. In other words, the heart has to be open, okay? It's not any work you have to do, but you have to allow your heart to be open. Right now, the easiest way to shut your heart to God, you ready? It's pride, okay? Pride is the easiest way to shut your heart to God. Do you know that in Job chapter 41, verse 15 and verse 16, when the Bible is describing pride, it talks about how the scales of pride are so tightly joined together that no air can come in between. Now, we know that the Spirit of God represents the breath of God, okay? So the breath of God or the air of God, right? It talks about how no air can get between these scales of pride. So if we have pride up in our heart, then that means our heart cannot encounter the Spirit of God. And if it can't encounter the Spirit of God, that means it can't encounter the fear of the Lord, the reverence of the Lord in that particular area that will keep you from doing these particular things. Hallelujah. And so this spirit of pride is strong. So what does pride look like? Pride looks like a hard heart. Pride looks like, you know what, God knows my heart. I know I shouldn't be doing this. I know I shouldn't be doing that, but God knows my heart. Right there, that is pride. Because at that moment, we're saying that even though we acknowledge that this particular thing is off, we are actually exalting that particular thing in that particular area on the same level with the commandments or the knowledge of God. We are not humbling that particular area of our life to the Lord. Hallelujah. Let me take it a step further. We aren't humbling our heart in that particular area to the conviction of the Lord. I'm not saying that we don't make mistakes. We all make mistakes. You know, we're all growing. The Bible talks about be ye transformed by the renewing of the mind. So there's a constant renewal that is taking place. But when we have pride up in our heart, what ends up happening is it causes our hearts to grow dull. In other words, it does what's talked about in 1 Timothy, where it talks about our consciences can be seared with a hot iron, okay? Your conscience can become seared with a hot iron. In other words, our conscience can come to a particular place where there's no sensitivity, no sensitivity to the fear of the Lord, no sensitivity to the Spirit of God, where there's an awareness of the thing that you're doing, but your heart doesn't feel the sensitivity to it. See, a lot of things we know. You know what I mean? Think about when you were in the world. Think about before you got saved. It was certain things, you know, you was like, yeah, I know, you know, yeah, man, I know I'm off in this particular area, this or that. But you didn't feel that heart conviction. Hallelujah. That I'm talking about the heart conviction that leads to you saying, God, like, yo, here's this particular area. Lord God, set me free from this area. You know what I'm saying? Yo, my heart is totally open where I know I desire to do these particular things, but I love you so much. You know what I'm saying? Look, y'all, I'm going to tell y'all something. Let me tell y'all a real story. And y'all about to trip out on me on this. This just hit me right quick. I'm going to tell y'all, and I might sound a little weird to y'all, but I'm going to tell you about the power of conviction, okay? This happened yesterday. I'm driving down the street, right? And I found a little shell of a pistachio or something in my back seat.
So I hadn't seen it before, so I figured, like, all right, somebody must have, you know, left this in my car. I don't know where this came from, because I don't eat pistachios. So I pick up the shell, right? And the moment I picked up the shell, I was about to throw it out my window. And right before I threw it out the window, I promise you, I heard somebody say, don't do that. Right? Now, I'm not somebody that really litters anyway. I really don't. But though, you know, since I got saved, you know, I be feeling some kind of way now about God's earth. But though, I picked this thing up, and I was just about to throw it out the window. I mean, it's just a little bitty shell. I didn't think nothing of it. So I heard something say, don't do that. Right? And so then I threw it out the window anyway. Right? Because I'm like, oh, man, you know, that's probably me just tripping. But then after I did it, just out of reverence for the Lord, I said, you know, Holy Spirit, was that you? Now, I say this after I didn't throw it out the window and drove down the street, right? I said, Holy Spirit, if that was you telling me don't do that, I will turn my car around and I will go back and pick up that shell. Okay? I'm serious, y'all. Right? Now, I didn't already drove down the street, everything, right? But I just was like, you know, because I want to keep my heart open to the Lord. You know, because I need to be hearing God, okay? You know, I get into that part in a minute. So, you know, so I'm driving down the street, and then I hear him tell me that was me. And so I said, okay, man. So I turn my car around. I drive back down the street. I stop, pull over. I get out my car. I walk in the middle of the street, right? And it's a couple of people walking down the street. They're looking at me. Because here, this dude coming to go pick up some shell out of the middle of the street. Right? You know what I'm saying? And I get back in my car, and I drive to where I get to a garbage can, and then I go ahead and throw it away. Right? Now, what does that have to do with what we're talking about? It didn't have nothing to do with the fact that I felt like, you know, morally superior or none of that. No, actually, I could care less. Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, it's a dang on shell. I mean, you know, throw this shell out, I ain't thinking about it. But it was more so about the love and the reverence of God. You know, just the love of the reverence of his voice. Like, yo, if that's you, you know what I'm saying? Yo, let me be mindful of our relationship. You know what I mean? Because, you know,
you're breaking up, Brother Phil.
We can't hear you.
Hey, y'all, my call dropped. I just got a text. My call dropped. Hey, can somebody tell me what's the last thing I left off on? Because I just been over here just talking.
It was about when you told us about going back, picking up the shell.
Did I pick
not
up the shell
feeling
yet?
More. Yes, not
yeah,
feeling morally superior.
Spiritual. You don't even
oh,
care.
Okay.
Feeling...
Yeah. Okay, cool. Right. So
It's not about feeling morally superior or nothing like that. I just don't want nothing to you know, like get in the way. It's just the respect of my relationship for the Lord once I recognize if it's him or not. It just out of the love that I have for him. Me personally, I don't see the big deal with throwing no dang on shell down. I really don't. I could care less about that particular thing. But just out of the respect of the relationship, because I heard him speak, you know. Now, I may have been one of those moments where I wish I didn't hear him speak right there. But you know what? I did. And so just out of respect for the relationship, you know, I don't want the vibe to actually be dulled. So, you know, our hearts, do you know that the Bible says that to the person who hears, more will be given to them? That's in Mark chapter 4, verses 23 through 25. It says, to the one who hears, more will be given to them. So that means that when we ignore God, or when we ignore the Spirit of the Lord, that means our hearing actually decreases. And so when our hearing decreases, what happens is now we still hear, but we hear through the area of that dullness. And so now when we're hearing through that dullness, now it's easy for us to be deceived, because Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. And he'll begin to speak through the deception in our heart to where we feel we're hearing God and we're not hearing God at all. Hallelujah. We're not hearing God at all. Ignoring the voice of the Lord will dull the heart. It will dull our senses. It will cause us to not hear God. And so this is why the spirit of the fear of the Lord is so important. Hallelujah. And if we see a lot of this stuff that even goes on, even in pulpits, you know, where we have people, and I'm not trying to offend nobody, but I just got to just keep it 1,000 with y'all, okay? There's a church that I was just seeing in Atlanta. I think it's called the Vision Church or something. If you go to this church, I'm telling you right now, you need to run. You need to run for it, right? You need to get up out of there. Let me tell you something. This particular church, they just hired some psychic to be on their board to communicate with the dead for members, right? But I'm not mad at the psychic. You know why? Because when I did the research, I saw who the pastors were. It's the pastor's fault. Check this out. The pastor is an openly gay man who has a first gentleman. Okay? He has a first gentleman. So here it is. You got the pastor and the first gentleman posing. So already their hearts are seared. Already there is a dullness to the voice of the Lord in their heart. Already there is a strong area of resistance to the spirit of the fear of the Lord that is in their heart, because they're actually shepherding a church engaged in open homosexuality. Now, let me say this. If there's anybody on the line that's engaged in homosexuality, I want to be very clear with what I'm saying. I am not someone that looks at people who engage in homosexuality through some special lens. If you ask me, there is no difference with the actual act of homosexuality and fornication. Now, I understand the Bible talks about effeminate. I know the Bible talks about homosexuality, and the Bible also talks about fornication. And you know, there are different things, but this is what I'm saying. It all falls under the umbrella of sex outside of marriage. And when I mean sex outside of marriage, I'm talking about the godly ordained way. And so a lot of times people will put a microscope on homosexuality and not put a microscope on the pastor or the leader who's up here sleeping around with a whole bunch of women. That'll be acceptable. You know what I'm saying? But let somebody find out it's homosexuality and we're talking about bringing the judgment of God down. You know what I'm saying? That's all. You know, but the point of the matter of what I'm saying is that sex outside of marriage is no, God ain't with that particular thing. And when you're up here leading this openly gay lifestyle, you're basically operating in rebellion. And the Bible says rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. But one of the things that goes along with rebellion, the thing that actually helps spark rebellion, is the spirit of pride, of saying my way, okay? I'm going to do this particular thing my way, and God will bless this particular thing, all right? And so that is an example of how there is not the spirit of the fear of the Lord in that particular place. But we have a choice. We have a choice. We can sit and say, I'm going to open my heart. I'm going to open my heart to the spirit of the Lord to bring conviction in this particular area of my heart. I'm going to open my heart to allow the spirit of the Lord to speak in whatever area he wants. Or we could sit there and make a choice to have our heart hardened and say, you know, that same thing that we may say, well, God knows my heart. God knows that, you know what I'm saying, that I'm on this and that. Yeah, God may know your heart, but is he okay with that? You know what I'm saying? God may know what it is that's going on, but does that area of your heart know God? I'm going to say that again. God may know your heart, but does that area of your heart know God? Okay? God wants that area of your heart to know him. And when that area of the heart knows him, that area of the heart knows the fear of the Lord, the reverence of the Lord. And so we want the reverential awe of God to be in our heart. We don't want none of this old religious fear. You know what I'm saying? None of this stuff where people feel like you can't even smile in the presence of God. You know what I'm saying? When you come in the presence of God, you got to, you know, be this certain way to not disrupt the presence and all this stuff. No, 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 no. You can be free. You can come boldly before the throne. Hallelujah. Because of Jesus Christ. You know what I mean? But though, it means opening your heart to the reverential fear, the awe of God. We want the awe. You know what I mean? I would even ask that in our personal time, we would ask for God, Lord, release the awe into my heart. Come on, that spirit of the fear of the Lord. Lord God, release that awe into my heart. You know, to where I feel the spirit of the Lord, where the spirit of the Lord is not just something that I know from the top of my head. I want to know this person of the Holy Spirit in my heart. And I want to, you know, this thing that's in the Bible talking about Moses and all of this other stuff, man, like, you know, Lord, I have something better than Moses. I have Jesus. And in Hebrew, I'm going to close it out with this. This story that I'm talking about is actually mentioned in Hebrews chapter 12. If you go and read in Hebrews chapter 12, the writer of Hebrews starts talking about how, hey, you know, this particular kingdom that we came into, it isn't this thing that they talked about in Exodus chapter 20, where they were scared to approach God. He talks about we're not operating in that physical kingdom in Christ. Now we're operating in a spiritual kingdom. This is what it talks about in Hebrews 12. And it talks about in verse 22. He says, so now we haven't come unto that physical mountain. We've come unto a spiritual mountain. And he talks about we've come unto a heavenly Jerusalem, an innumerable company of angels, the church of the firstborn. In other words, in Jesus Christ, there's this deep spiritual connection that you and I have now, where there's an innumerable company of angels, where we can access all of these deep things of God, where we don't have to sit and operate in that carnal fear, hallelujah, but the reverential fear of the Lord that brings it all, that brings a wonder into our life, but that also keeps our hearts open to being convicted to where we can choose life and not choose death. And so I just wanted to just really release this word. It was just really in my heart that we, as people of God, all of us, myself included, that we will become more sensitive to the presence of God, the reverential awe of the Lord. Now, you know what I'm saying? The reverential awe of God. God, we want to be open to where we're not, you know, sitting here making the same mistakes over and over and over again, walking with the same hardness of heart, being dull. Hallelujah. Dull in our hearts, dull in our hearing. Come on. God wants us out here walking in signs, miracles, and wonders. You know what I'm saying? He wants us out here displaying the love of God, you know, but that love of God just coming alive to where people can actually feel you before you even come in the room. You know what I'm saying? They can feel your actual presence. They can feel the weight of the glory of God on you because of the inner work that is going on, to where certain things you don't even have to say nothing, but people would just be convicted in your presence. Hallelujah. The spirit of the fear of the Lord will even be released even when you come around. Hallelujah. But it starts off in our heart. God wants to lead us to life. He wants to lead us to life. You know what I'm saying? The spirit of the fear of the Lord brings life. And so I just really want to release that today, you know, and I just pray, you know, that if there's any area where we have walls up in our heart, come on, where we're being stubborn against the things of God, you know what I mean? That stiff neckedness will be broken, because the Bible says that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft and stubbornness is as idolatry. Hallelujah. And so I pray for every idol, you know, every idol to come down in our hearts, every area where we have been stubborn, come on, where we have been resisting the things of God. You know what I'm saying? That idol will be broken, just as God broke those idols. You know, when he broke that idol in half, that Philistine god Dagon, you know, where the people came and they looked and there it was, that idol was smashed in half. You know what I'm saying? I pray that God will smash our idols in half. Come on, in the name of Jesus, and that spirit of rebellion. You know what I mean? Oh my gosh, that the fire of the Lord, come on, we'll begin to consume that spirit of rebellion and the sword of the Lord. I pray that he will poke every single area of rebellion that has been operating in our heart in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So I just turn this call over right now to whoever, to who I'm supposed to be turning it over to. God bless you all. Hallelujah.
Praise your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. So, Father, we come this morning. First of all, we just want to thank you. And before we ask for anything, God, I want to just give you the glory and honor this morning. We're up with the activities of our limbs on this morning, and the word of God came to pierce our ears, the sound of thunder that is in the distance, that is warning us over and over and over and over. God, on this morning, all of us have become repeat offenders. We come to you, we ask for forgiveness, we walk right back out of our lives, and we go right back into the sin and the stench of death. God, I pray on this morning that this word came to free us, to deliver us and set us free on this morning, oh God. Have mercy upon us, oh God. As the brother preached on this morning and spoke to our hearts, Brother Field, thank you. Because truly the man of God brought an enlightenment to us. And if we're sitting in sin, we cannot hear the voice of the Lord. And those that are saying, I hear you, Lord, but yet still following after your God. On this morning, you have been exposed by the Holy Spirit, and it is time for us to commit. From this point on, God, we won't look back and not turn into a pillar of salt on this morning, oh God. I thank you for the word, oh God. Because it comes to break us. It comes to mold us and shape us after you, God. We're saying we want to be more like you. But in you, there was no sin, God. There was no sin. So on this morning, we take off our grave clothes of heaviness on this morning, and we pick up the garment of praise. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. It's freedom to worship. You don't have to be pumped up or primed up. You should just automatically walk in. And you will automatically know when the atmosphere is not right. And Father, I ask on this morning that we rededicate our hearts, our minds, our souls. And for every act of adultery, fornication, any homosexual acts on this morning, because it was brought up in the word on this morning, and God, we don't want to turn a deaf ear. No, we are not trying to hurt anyone. But God, the word says it's an abomination to you. And God, I give you praise on this morning for freeing me from the death chains I had around my neck and on my ankles, oh God, on this morning. So on this morning, as the people of God, hear the voice, and you heard the word. Now you're responsible for what you heard on this morning, because we have partaken of the fruit that has been given unto us this morning. Thank you, oh God, for how you come to cleanse us and heal us from all unrighteousness on this morning. We don't want to be found with innocent blood on our hands, oh God. So this morning, help us to change our ways. Help us to renew our mind and our thinking on this morning, oh God. Let the words really of our mouth and the meditation really of our heart be acceptable in the sight of God. On this morning, oh God, I plead with the people as you have asked. Thank you, oh God, for being a chosen vessel this morning, for changing the schedule on this morning, oh God. Thank you. Because when we walk into the room, the atmosphere should change. It is not changing because there's some things we yet need to get right. God, thank you for the reminders each day. Thank you for those that have studied the word to show themselves approved. On this morning, a workman needed not be ashamed, to feel rightly dividing the word of truth by scripture. And I thank you, oh God, that even in his busy schedule, that he's taken the time out to give to your people what you have downloaded. And yes, we should be as conscious of that pistachio nut, that just even if it wasn't a nut inside of it, just throwing things out on the street, littering. Our conscience should be so clear that if we say something to one another, that we should be able to go back and say, forgive me, I may have offended you. So on this day, I ask this time that as we come as into corporate oneness on this morning, whatever you came here with, this is the place to leave it at and ask the Lord, truly change me, God. I don't want to be the person I was when I came on the line. Perhaps you came and you had a request. There was no prayer request on today, because God said this is the day that he has made. He will rejoice and be glad in it. We should be rejoicing on this morning. No sad stories on this morning. We have the breath in our body. God, thank you, oh God. Father God, so we offer up these prayers of thanksgiving on this morning. We offer up prayers of forgiveness on this morning, oh God. And as you told them, tear down the Asher poles that you have in your life. Cut them down. And if there's any other God that stands in front of God, oh God, I thank you on this morning that every area, every crook, nook and cranny that is in my life, God, on today, expose it where I can see it with the natural eye. But on this morning, oh God, no pain, no gain on this morning, thanks of God. You got to go through something in order to get something. So on today, I ask that you allow God to release what he really, really, really have been trying to get to us. We're in the fifth month, about to head into the sixth month in just a few days. But on today, God, we don't want to look back at half of the year that we walked and got all of this good word, and yet we're still offending one another. We're still carrying trash that is unnecessary. So on this morning, oh God, change my mind on today. Really, God, help me to do better, God. You tell the Lord, help me to do better. Not where we have the pious look. Because it's not about our face that God is concerned with. It's about our heart on this morning, oh God. So I come to you, God, asking you to purge me on this morning. If there's any of the junk that I came out of, God, that you delivered me from, God, on today, don't let me go back and keep picking that up. Tell me where you want me to go. Tell me what you want me to do. It's about us saving soul on this morning. So, God, I ask that you deliver on this morning. Somebody needs to be set free on this line. This is a memorial day. Yes. It's a day where some are gathering and going to the places, to the grave sites of those who actually served in war. It's not about a celebration for barbecue on today. We're just celebrating those that served in the Army, in the Navy, they did whatever they did, even if it's a memorial for mother and father, sister and brother, because these people did something to get us where we are today. So God, let us not get into the holiday mode, but we need to stay steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the works of the Lord, because we don't want our labors to be in vain, and for us to get to the end of this journey and have worked in the labored in the field and get to the end. And God said, who are you? I don't know you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. On this morning, I'm asking you, go in into your deepest chambers of your heart and ask them, God, what is it that I need to change on this morning? That is our honest prayer on this morning. So, saints of God, I ask that you unmute your line. And I mean on today, really, really give another thought. I thank you for the opportunity to lead you into corporate worship on this morning. He said, they that worship must worship in spirit and in truth on this
Lord,
morning.
Lord, bless you this morning, God.
We love you, God. You've been good and you've been kind. Oh, and we thank you on this morning. Oh, God, I thank you on today. No weapon that is formed against your people shall prosper. And we thank you and we praise you on this morning. As the wars, the phones have gone silent, I thank you for offering up
We shall receive
Praise
you.
This is a great memory of
Lord, I even pray for those that are on the line. Hallelujah. Lord, I pray for anybody on the line. Whose hearts have been hardened from the pain and the oppression that they have went through. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would go to the area of our heart that would cause us to smoke cigarettes. Lord, that unhealed area of the heart where there is bitterness. Father, I pray that you would begin to blow your breath on that area of our heart where we let that wall down. Every person who has let that wall down, begin to release the life and the breath of the Spirit into that particular area. And Lord, begin to bring healing in every area where our hearts have been dulled. Lord God, that will cause us to go out and get high. Hallelujah, that will cause us to go out and get drunk, that will cause us to go and fornicate in the name of Jesus. Father, in other areas, hallelujah, Lord, those areas that will cause us to constantly be engaged in arguments, constantly engaged in fighting and striving, constantly engaged in contention, Lord. Father, I pray that you will begin to release healing in those areas of our hearts, that we may be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Jesus, make us more like you as we gaze into your eyes. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If anybody wants to share anything, maybe you may have been seeing something, you know, while we were praying or while you were hearing the thing, I want to let you know that it's not a figment of your imagination. So you can go ahead and, you know, share. If anybody wants to speak, go right ahead.
Hey, good morning. This is Kedra. I'm going to be really brief. I'm at work, and I had it on speaker at work. I had to step off out of the office because that thing hit me so hard. But I see, like, I just see an army of angels just warring because, you know, the kingdom of heaven suffers by violence, and the violence taketh by force.
Yes.
And I just seen an army of angels just warring. I mean, I just seen things of war, and I'm at work, and this is a new workplace for me, and I know I was placed here because I'm, like, one of the only believers. So just keep me in my prayers, and that's what I'm saying, and I'm going back on mute.
Father, we thank you that that even as Kedra's Lord is in that workplace, Father, I thank you that there are more for her than against her. Hallelujah. And so, Lord God, I even pray that even when certain incidences happen where she might get fearful, where she may feel like, man, I don't know what to do in this situation, Father, I pray that in that moment that you would cause the eyes of her heart to become open, Lord God, to be able to sense your heavenly host and your heavenly help in that area. We invoke the name of Jesus into her job right now. We invoke the name of Jesus into that area right now. And Father, we thank you, Lord, that because she is there, your heavenly hosts are there. And so we pray that you will assist her. Holy Spirit, that you would help her, that you would lead her and guide her in the way that she shall go. And Father, I thank you for the positive outcomes that are going to come from it. I thank you, Lord God, that she will be fruitful, that there was great favor that rests on her life. But Lord, you are the one that have led her there, and you did not lead her there, Father, in order for her to fail. Hallelujah. And so, Lord God, I thank you that you're blessing your daughter, doing great and mighty things through her. Lord God, in Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. I receive it.
Okay, I see my phone cut off, but yeah, in Jesus' name, we bless you. Hallelujah. Is there someone else? Someone
good morning.
On prayer or something? Hey, good morning. I'm sorry.
That's all right. Good morning. This is Lavina. God bless you, first of all. Awesome, awesome, awesome. I wrote down lightning, thunder, and trumpets, the sound of. And so if you can expound on that, and I do know that God's voice sometimes will, glory to God, will appear to be heard in the lightning and the thundering and the sounds of the trumpets that we will begin to hear more of as we are approaching. And that's how he just gave it to me. So if you can expound on that, because you told us to write that down, that you were going to come back to it. And so I just wanted to, that whole chapter, reading it in the translation, I mean, in the passage version,
yeah.
It is just so enlightening that God's heart was so tender and full of joy. Glory to God. His heart was full of joy. And so we can have a joyful heart and not a hardened heart. And every time I heard that pistachio shell, it reminded me that a pistachio shell is so hard that if it's not cracked, if it's not ripened enough, the air, glory to God, the air won't be able to go through to bump out the seed that's within it. And it will stay hardened. It will stay in a hardened form. Okay, I'm done. This is good, Brother Phil. God bless you.
Praise God. Yo, so the lightnings, the thunders, the earthquake. I'm going to say this real quick. In Revelation chapter 4, if you all ever want to get a picture of the throne of God, and again, first of all, let me say this to everybody. Any person, any believer, what part of our inheritance in Jesus is we immediately access the throne of God. Because of Jesus, we can come before the throne of God. Check this out. If you don't know who Jesus is, hallelujah, you can call unto him and he will answer. But let me tell you something. In Hebrews chapter 4, it talks about how we boldly go before the throne, right? And so think about this. The throne that we boldly go before, what does that throne look like? Revelation chapter 4 actually gives you a picture of what it looks like before the throne of God. And it talks about how there's an emerald rainbow. It talks about how there's a sea of crystal glass. But what else does it say? It says lightning, thunderings, earthquakes. In other words, the voice, when God's voice is speaking, these are all of the things that are, or some of the things that are happening that we can actually translate in our human language, because there are things that are happening that can't be translated in our human language. Now check this out. In Psalms chapter 29, it's a chapter. Psalms 29 is a chapter about the voice of the Lord. The whole chapter is about God's voice, Psalms chapter 29. Yes. And so it begins to say the different attributes of God's voice. One of the things that it says is his voice thunders and it breaks the cedars. Okay? And so what does that mean? It breaks the cedars. It says it breaks the cedars of Lebanon. So the cedars of Lebanon were these particular trees that Lebanon brought in when they had like the best of like the cedars. As a matter of fact, that's where Solomon got the wood from when he was building the actual temple. He got his wood from Lebanon. Lebanon was known for these cedars and the cedar wood, right? And so he says how God's voice, when it thunders, it breaks even the cedars because the cedars were hard. And so it showed how when the voice of God thunders, even the hardest thing, you know what I'm saying? It can't resist something when God's voice begins to thunder. And so it shows the power and the intensity of the voice of God. He releases the thunder. He releases the lightning. You know what I'm saying? Like earthquake. You think about an earthquake. Things begin to shake. Things begin to move. But the thing is, God told us not to be fearful of this because all of these things are contained inside of this one word, love. Inside of love is all of these things. Because remember, the Bible says in Song of Solomon, chapter 8, verse 6, that love is the most vehement flame. That word vehement means violent. Hallelujah. It says many waters cannot quench it. And so when love is being released, when we release love, all of these entities that go along with the voice of the Lord, because remember, God is love, right? God is love. And so you think about it, the thundering, the lightning, the earthquakes, all of these powerful things taking place that are going forth when we release the love, when we release the violence of God. And it's not something that we have to be fearful of. Hebrews chapter 12 tells us that actually this is something that you and I are now citizens of. You and I are now a part of. This is normal. You may think in your particular prayer time that when you're sitting there, you know, nothing is happening. No, no, no. There are lightnings, thunderings, earthquakes. These things are taking place. You're releasing these things in the realm of the spirit. Hallelujah. And there's more that we could go on that, but that's just to give you just a general view of what it's speaking about when it talks about the lightnings, the thunderings, and the earthquakes. Did that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's good.
Amen.
I'm going on mute. God bless you.
God bless you.
Pastor, Brother Phil.
Hey.
Hey, how are you today?
Man, I'm good. I'm stirred up.
No, I'm fired up. God is so good. You know, we had an experience here in the northern, in California, here about 2 weeks ago. Man, it was like late in the night. I think it was about maybe 3 o'clock in the morning. The lightning hit so hard. It shook the building that we was in. Not
Jesus.
Only did it shake the building that we was in, but I sat straight up and I went straight into prayer. Because I said, Lord, what are you saying? He said, what I'm doing is I'm trying to get the attention of my people. My people. So I was just, when you started talking about the thunder, man, that's where it took me back to. Thank you for this awesome word on today. God bless you, man of God. And thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to just exegete the word to us on today. God bless.
Man, praise God. God bless you.
Hey, did your phone go out or you just got quiet?
Yeah, I got quiet. I was saying, was anybody else going to come on? Good looking, though.
I'm going to ask you a quick question. So you ain't going to say nothing about that 3 o'clock hour, huh? I'm going on mute.
Just saying. Just saying.
That ain't sound like a question.
you heard the question before I said it, don't play.
Yo, so she was talking about the 3 o'clock hour. Now, you know, there is a, so you want me to what? You want me to touch on the 3 o'clock hour?
Absolutely, because it might have been me. over here making half a shake. Sorry.
You know what?
Yeah. Go ahead and touch on it.
He's so funny. Yo. So real quick, I know that some of you all on this line, God will wake you up. Well, let me say this. Some of you all on this call, you've awakened at 3 o'clock in the morning before, or you've awakened at like 2:59 or 2:55, right? You chilling. You ain't set your alarm for it, nothing like that. You just happen to look up. And for some reason, you're getting up at that particular hour, right? And what's crazy about that is, I'm not saying that God doesn't wake us up. Whenever we wake up, it's because God is waking us up. But there is something about that 3 o'clock hour. Now, I don't know the fullness of it, but I'm just going to say the little bit that I do know. There's something about that hour of 3 o'clock where powerful things begin to happen in the realm of the spirit. So when God will wake us up during that time to really pray. And I want to just tell you a couple of things that have happened in the Bible at during the 3 o'clock hour. And when I mean 3 o'clock, I mean 3 a.m. When the Israelites got brought out of Egypt, when they first left Egypt and went and walked through the Red Sea, it was at 3 a.m. When Jesus came walking on the water, it was at 3 a.m. And there's something, and the Bible talks about it, like the Bible highlights those particular, that particular hours. But so the point of the matter is, it's something that really goes on and takes place in the realm of the spirit of why God calls us to awaken during that particular time. There are certain things that happen. There's a certain grace. There's a certain grace to really pray and really release the power of God during those particular hours at 3 a.m. So I want to encourage you all, if you have been awakened at 3 a.m., first of all, if you went back to sleep after God woke you up, don't feel condemned, no condemnation, because I can tell you right now, out of the hundreds of times God has awakened me at 3 a.m, I probably responded a good 10 or 15 of the times. So in other words, probably like 5%. I'm telling you, a lot of times I went right back to sleep. I'm trying to tell you. It's times where I got up at 3 a.m, like, okay, all right. And my prayer lasted about 3 seconds on the real. You know what I'm saying? You know. Or other times, and I just fall right back to sleep. So I don't want you to feel condemned on that. But I do want to say that it's not just a figment of your imagination. And I have noticed, like, when I pray prayers during that time, there is a certain grace. Y'all, I can't even explain, like the power, the anointing during that particular time. And I don't know the fullness of it, of why it is, but what I will do is, as Dion brought that up, is I have a little information that I will post on the page about the 3 a.m. hour. Amen. Is that cool, Ms. Dion?
Beautiful. Works for me.
Word. Hallelujah. Anybody else?
Good morning. This is Tanya. Can you hear me okay?
Hey, Ms. Tanya.
Hey, Dr. Phil. It's good to hear you, man of God. So listen, I may be a little bit off, but while we were in corporate prayer, and I couldn't
hear off.
So while we were in corporate prayer, somebody was attempting to participate, but it was as if what I felt is that it was choking you. And you continue to try. It wasn't a regular cough. It didn't feel like, and I thought, I'm tripping, you know, it wasn't a regular cough. Like something was trying to strangle you from allowing your worship to be released. I just want to know if you are still on the line. Okay, that's all.
I heard it too, Pam. I heard it too.
Okay, all right.
I heard it also.
Okay, thank you, Jay.
I heard it.
All right.
Same here.
Okay. All right. So are you on the line, Seth? I think it was a woman. Are you? It's not to embarrass you at all. It is to impart something to you. It's to give you something if you are on the line.
Yes, ma'am. I'm on the line.
You are on the line. Praise God. Okay. Let me ask a clarifying question. God loves you. First of all, what's your name?
Melinda.
Melinda? Yeah, God loves you, Melinda. Were you able to get past that coughing
spell that you had and actually begin to worship? Were you able to do that?
Yes, ma'am.
You were?
Yes, ma'am.
Praise God.
Yes, ma'am.
Praise God.
Yes, ma'am.
Praise God.
Yes,
praise God.
Yes,
okay. And do you recognize what I'm talking about?
I recognize everything you're talking about. It does.
Okay.
I'm dealing
right.
with a whole
right.
lot of my allergies, and I just came back from a different state. I was in California, and then Seattle, so I got a cold. And I'm dealing with a lot of pallor that's going in my nose. And when I get congested, and the Holy Spirit is trying to deliver me from the demons that put a hold on me and to release all of them out of my from what I've been going through. So it's a release that I'm just trying to help.
So do me a favor. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Tanya.
No, Phil, I was getting you right on cue. I was getting ready to hand it back to you. Go ahead.
Okay, so do me a favor. Miss Melinda, do you know Dion? Does Dion have your contact information?
No, she doesn't.
Okay, so this is what I want to do if this is okay with you. I would like to pray with you about that condition. And so if you don't mind, after the call or whatever, we could connect or something. And I would love to have the honor to pray for you. Would that be okay?
Yes, it would.
Okay.
Hey, Melinda, I have your contact information. I do. Melinda who?
No, you don't. No.
Okay.
Okay, so do me a favor. Could you, go ahead, Deanna. I'm sorry.
No. I was just going to say, in effort for him to be able to connect with you, Ms. Melinda, who invited you to the line, babe?
Mr. Kendra.
Okay. Kendra, if you can, maybe inbox me her info, that'd be great. I'll send her a text. I don't know if she hung up because I know she was at work. So.
Yeah, she's at work. I'll remind her today.
Okay.
I'm out.
Okay. Thank you. All right.
Yes. It's all good. Is anybody else?
Dr. Phil? I love that name, Dr. Phil. Can you guys hear me? Okay. This is Pam. Okay, I just want to share with you that you just said something, and I when you were speaking about the sound of the Lord, and when you were sharing about and it reminded me, I did remember a scripture about his voice is like thunder. When you were breaking all that down, thank you, Jesus. Wow, this is fun. This is good. God is amazing. I finally get the meaning of, there was a scripture in Genesis that just, it was a trip because it had me like, it's Genesis 3:8. And the King James Version says, and you finally just opened my eyes to something, and this is like nothing but the Lord. I never understood when it said, and they heard, this is in Genesis, and talking about Adam and Eve in the garden after they, did what they did. And it says, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of day. And that had me stumped for a while. I was like, wow, because I know God's amazing. I'm like, wow, how can the voice walk, right? That's where I was, like,
right.
Really, 10 years ago. And I was like, ooh, it really just kind of got me more into, like, just how mighty the Lord was. But the way you broke that down about his voice is like thunder, and that's what causes things to, that's what causes it just made sense. I went right back to that scripture. So I just want to say thank you. Like, really, it's been like years. I've never understood what that meant, but now I because of how you broke that down about the voice and the sound of the Lord, it makes that verse now make sense to me. So thank you. It's
Amen.
So fun learning so much about the Lord. I just have so much fun. He just reveals so much every day. So thank you, Jesus. And that was fun. Thank you so much for breaking that down like that. Stop laughing.
Amen.
bless you. Well, thank you, Holy Spirit, because I ain't that smart. You know, I got barbecue on my mind right now. So, you know, thank you, Holy Ghost. Is anybody else? Hello? Did my phone cut off?
No, I can hear you.
No.
Oh, okay. Cool. If ain't nobody else, you know, I know this is the Memorial Day edition, you know. So, we're going to go once. Go it twice. Anybody want prayer?
Andrea, good morning, family. It's Andrea. I'll take prayer for just a spirit of pride in the eyes of my enlightenment, you know, my understanding be enlightened.
Yeah. Okay. Hallelujah. So, Father, just thank you for Andrea in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you for your word. I just decree the sovereignty of your word in this atmosphere, where you said that we can humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, and you will exalt us in due time. And so, Lord, just as her heart is open, Dondre, I just want you to repeat after me. Just say, Jesus.
Jesus.
I ask
Jesus.
You.
I ask you.
To go to the areas of my heart.
Go to the areas of my heart
where I have had walls of pride.
Where I have had walls of pride
erected.
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 And today I ask.
And today I ask.
For you to tear those walls down.
For you to tear those walls down.
I humble myself today.
I humble myself today.
And give your word permission.
And give your word permission.
To act like a hammer.
To act like a hammer.
To break every wall to pieces.
To break every wall to pieces.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
That you're releasing the breath of your spirit.
That you're releasing the breath of your spirit
into the eyes of my heart.
Into the eyes of my heart.
Give me understanding.
Give me understanding, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Let the spirit of the fear of the Lord.
Let the spirit of the fear of the Lord.
Give me wisdom.
Give me wisdom.
I humble myself to you today.
I humble myself to you today.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know the,
thank you, Lord.
You know what's tripped out about, it didn't even hit me until we were just praying, that when the Bible says, it says the fear of the Lord, it says it's the beginning of humility. That's a scripture in Proverbs. It's a few scriptures in Proverbs about the fear of the Lord. It talks about it's the beginning of wisdom. But it also talks about how the fear of the Lord is like, it's basically, it's associated with humility. Like when you humble yourself, that's like the first step that you have encountered the fear of the Lord. Because when you come into when we come into the intellect of God, we can't do anything else but humble ourselves. Our intellect is nothing in comparison to his intellect. And remember, we are actually accessing the one who knows the end from the beginning. So when we're looking at ourselves, we see our situation from the place of where we are and however far our vision goes. God literally sees us from the beginning and the end. He sees the beginning part. He sees how the thing happened. He sees the end part. But he goes even further back than that, because remember, he goes back to the history of us before the world was formed, and he goes all the way to your end, and he knows how to get you there. He knows every single piece, but it's all about humbling ourselves. And a lot of times, it's not that we don't want to humble ourselves because we're these terrible people. A lot of times, the walls of pride have been erected because of fear. You know, because of fear, because of the fear of the unknown, because of you don't feel in control. A lot of us, we hate the fact when we don't feel in control, but we have to understand that actually when we allow God to do the things, when we're being led by the Spirit, as the Word says, we're allowing the Holy Spirit to be in control. And what better control can we have than that? And as a result, we begin to experience Romans 14, verse 17. That says righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. It is not God's desire for us to not walk in the joy of the Holy Ghost. There's a joy that comes with humbling ourselves. Hallelujah. And so, you know, I just want to encourage you, woman of God. I know it's a fearful place to step into. Is definitely associated with fear. But I'm telling you right now that the moment that you humble yourself, you begin to step out of that realm of the carnal fear, and you begin to step into the realm of the fear of the Lord. Hallelujah, the fear of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord, the Bible says, leads to life. It leads to life. It leads to honor. It leads to riches. Come on, long life, as a matter of fact. So you get physical life, but then you get spiritual life as well. Come on, the fear of the Lord. So I just bless you, woman of God, in that area, and whoever else that was saying that prayer as well. God bless you all.
Thank you. Praise God.
Hey, Phil. Hey, family. Happy
Yo.
Monday. This is Gloria. How you doing?
What up, Gloria Gurganius?
I'm doing good, bro. Looking for some barbecue like you.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to say thank you for that declaration this morning. It was powerful. It was a blessing. And I just thank God for him allowing us to experience and to learn the difference between being afraid of him because of our sin, but reverencing him,
yes.
Having reverential fear of him because he
yes.
is God. And that
yes.
he honors his word and he honors his promise. And he gives us the capacity by his Spirit in us to honor him. So I'm grateful on this morning. I'm excited and just thankful. So thank you so much.
Hallelujah. That's it right there. Come on, Jesus. This is why Jesus died on the cross. Come on. So we wouldn't have to be fearful to approach the Father. You know what I'm saying? You know, so we can approach the Father from that place. And that's so beyond our human understanding, because we just be like, man, come on, man, you too holy for me to approach you. Come on. But this is what makes Jesus who he is. This is why we have to sit there and just be like, man, Jesus, I love you. Like, you are the bomb. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, you made us to where, look, there's a scripture. I promise you, there's a scripture. It's in Daniel, right? And in Daniel talks about this vision that he has. And in this vision, Daniel is thrown off because he sees all of this heavenly majesty going on. But then he's perplexed in the vision because he's like, I see this man sitting on the throne. And so he's thrown off because remember, Daniel's still in old covenant times. And he's like, hold on now. I'm seeing all of this glory. I'm seeing God. I'm seeing the angels. I'm seeing all this stuff. But yet the one that's given the most honor in heaven is an actual man. What is this? And he's perplexed about that particular thing. And we understand that what he was really getting a vision of was not just Jesus, but actually the seat that Jesus has. Because remember, God magnifies his word above all he names. Jesus is the most powerful person in heaven. Hallelujah. And it pleases the Father, hallelujah, to make everything center around Jesus. But yet Jesus is a man. Come on, it is an actual human being. You know what I mean? And so because of this human being in heaven, when you and I come, this human being it talks about in the Bible is also an advocate for us. So in other words, when it talks about an advocate, it's talking about how he's like a defense attorney. So when you and I go before the Father, when we go before the righteous judge, we have an actual the defense attorney that we have representing us on our behalf happens to be the one that all of heaven reveres. You know what I'm saying? And so he's sitting there like, no. You know, the blood is covering them. You know how you say you plead the fifth? And you ain't got to answer the question. You know what I'm saying? We plead the blood over there. No. This person's cool. You know what I'm saying? Actually, this person is holy. You know? And then you got the adversary, the enemy. He's the accuser. He's like the prosecutor. He up there like, no, Your Honor. They done this. Every single time, Jesus is nullifying that. Like, no. They cool. And the thing that helps us to access that is something very simple. It's our faith. That's it. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. They that come to him must believe that he is and a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so coming with that faith of like, man, God, you know what? I know I don't feel like this particular thing, but yo, like I'm forgiven. You forgiven me. So, yo, I'm not going to be fearful to step before you. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to listen to these lies that the enemy is telling me or even that religion tries to tell us and people walking around and they, you know, you got to do this and that and this and that just to, you know, access God. You got to go cleanse yourself. You got to go fast for 3,658 days, you know what I'm saying, and go sit under a tree in a lotus position, you know what I mean, before you get access to the presence of God. You know what I'm saying? So God bless you. You get me stirred up talking about that stuff. I can't stand it when that stuff be happening. So amen. Hallelujah. Y'all still there? Did my phone cut off?
No, we hear you.
Okay. I don't want to keep nobody on too long now. Like I said, whenever y'all ready to roll out, because, you know, I understand this is an important holiday for black people. I know your barbecue grills are calling. You know what I mean? Well, I don't know how y'all do in the Bay Area, but, you know, I know in Chicago, we look for any excuse to barbecue. Cats be barbecuing in the wintertime. If the wintertime, if it hit to about 35, 40 degrees, you might smell a grill going. You know
what
I'm saying? On the real. So, you know, even though I'm not in Chicago right now, I had to leave. I'm still in the Midwestern area, you know, and I'm going to have me some barbecue today. You know what I mean? So, you know.
On that note, I would like to ask for prayer. This is Natasha. First, I want to give praise and thanks for safe travel. My family, my husband, the twins, and my mom, who traveled from Chicago to South Carolina, got in on Friday for graduation. So I want to give praise for that. My niece graduated high school.
Hallelujah.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. And we'll be leaving to head back to Chicago, getting on the road. So I just want to ask for travel mercy and grace and safe passage back home to the shop.
Yes. Well, Father, we pray for safe travel. Lord, I decree Psalms 91 that says you will give your angels charge over them to keep them in all their ways. What's your last name?
Moss.
Say it again.
Moss. M-O-S-S. Moss.
Okay. And so, Father, we pray for the Moss family, that you will give your angels charge over the Moss family to keep them in all of their ways. Lord God, that you would take the Moss family back to the destination that they are headed to. Lord, I thank you that as your protection is over them, Father, we thank you that there will be no car accident. Hallelujah. There will be no mechanical failure. Lord God, hallelujah. I even bind every spirit of strife and confusion that may try to come up on a road trip, you know, where the enemy is trying to cause people to pick fights, you know what I mean, over little stuff.
Yes.
You know, Father, we pray for the peace of God that passes all understanding to guard their hearts and their minds. We bless them, and I just pray that they will be in your timing, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you.
Amen. We good? Okay, I guess we good. Cool. We gonna close this out then. Abba, we love you and we thank you. We thank you that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Hallelujah. And so, Holy Spirit, I just pray for a new realm of liberty, that all of us would enjoy it. I pray, Lord, that you would bless our day today. Lord, in any area where we have been out of your timing, I pray, Lord, I thank you that even as we have stepped in this eternal realm today, Lord, that our time is being recalibrated. Lord, that our steps are being recalibrated. Lord God, as we sink in with the time, Lord, for you said our times are in your hands. Hallelujah. And so, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that even as we humble ourselves under your mighty hand, Lord, you are guiding us. You are leading us along the way. We bless you. We love you. And we thank you, Lord, and we just pray for more of your Spirit in our life, in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Amen. God bless y'all.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, people.
Have a great day.
Have a
wonderful
day.
Thank you. God bless you.
Have a wonderful holiday, everyone.
Yes.
Love you. Have a safe, blessed holiday. You too,
okay,
Dr.
Dear.
Amen.
Yeah, y'all too. Hey, friend.
Have a great day, everyone.
All right, now, y'all.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.